Everything's running smoothly.
Yo, 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 what is going on? Happy Tuesday.
How are you, my friends?
My name is Hartzell. This is your KC Morning Show Tuesday, October 6th, hanging out with Kansas City. I told you last week that my plan was to talk to you. I wanted to hear your story. You know, you listen to me, you listen to Kitty, you listen to Sean, you listen to Benny. That's dope. We appreciate you. But I want to hear from you because you got a story. We got Celeste on the show. She's going to fill us in about that summer in hindsight, the 18th Street Fashion Show. Yeah, we got more info. And Calvin was able to join us. Calvin Arsenia, also on your KC Morning Show. He sounds so good. I mean, just hearing him talk, the man just speaks beautifully. He could sing the alphabet. We've heard that joke, and I would listen to it. Also on your show today, we got Max James. He's doing the Sound of Kansas City, that music festival happening at the World War I Museum. Yeah, we got a festival. Yeah, in Kansas City in 2020, festivals can still be a thing, and we're going to do it right. That's happening on October 18th, and then Carter Augustine gonna get us previewed for that Sporting KC matchup tomorrow, taking on Chicago. Yeah? Yes. I should read some emails. All right, y'all, back in your feeds tomorrow. Full show, Kitty's back Wednesday. Wisdom, oh yes. All that content you came for. My name's Hartzell. If you need me, you can get me at Hartzell965 on all the socials. But yeah, we'll see you in the morning. It's your KC Morning Show. Celeste is back. Hello, Celeste. But also on your KC Morning Show, the star, one of the producing contributors for the soundtrack, edited this thing, Calvin Arsenia on your KC Morning Show. Also good at music and stuff.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi.
So what's going on, y'all? How are we doing? What is the update?
Well, I don't know. The truth is scarier than fiction sometimes, you know? we're in the thick of post-production. We are putting together the soundtrack. It was a really important thing for me from day one with this project, even before the pandemic, that there was new and original music that was tailored to fit each of the collections. And so I've been spending the last several weeks working on creating new and beautiful things that were inspired by the garments themselves. And what you'll expect on the night of the show is brand new music from me and some stuff that you've never heard from Mike Dillon, and a couple surprises along the way as well. And I'm very excited and proud of the work that the whole team has done to put this thing together, given all of the circumstances. And it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be very beautiful.
And Calvin, you're much too good of a person to brag on yourself, so I'm going to do it for you. You are a treasure, my friend. Your voice is a staple in Kansas City. Have you ever done anything like this? Because not only, you know, are you starring in the film? You're a vital lens of how we're seeing this whole thing. Have you ever been a part of anything like this ever?
No, this is definitely probably the most intense thing I've ever done in my life.
I love it.
But it feels amazing, you know, and I feel like I've been training for this kind of work. I mean, the film is like a stage, working in sound design and sound, a soundtrack is like a different kind of venue. And I feel that, especially in the midst of something where we're not able to gather in person as safely as it was before, or at least under the impression of safety, because maybe it never was to begin with. But using film and animation in particular, doing soundtracks for that kind of thing, it's been something I've wanted to do for a long time. And I hope that this project is not only standalone amazing by itself, but also a gateway for me in a different mode of music making.
I just can't wait to see what you do next. I mean, your star is so bright, my friend. Like, it's outrageous. You are absolutely incredible. And Celeste, you know, we're going to be watching this thing October 16th. It is going to be called Summer in Hindsight at the Boulevard Drive-In. So Celeste, last time we chatted, we were still putting all this together. Now you are a film producer, essentially. What have we learned during all this process?
What I have learned is there are some amazing people in Kansas City, and there's amazing talent. And I, of course, am on the bandwagon with you as far as my adoration of Calvin. To see him, it's just amazing to me, all the things that he can do. And, you know, like, he created the teaser, the video teaser, even that we're sharing for the movie, which you can find on our Facebook page or following us by Instagram. You can see all the little teasers that we're doing. And it's so fun to see Calvin, create this and to show us his perspective of what's to come, because I'm not a part of the editing process. I was there on the set, but I don't really know what this movie's going to look like. And I just get the goosebumps every time I see what he's doing for us and what Peregrine's doing for us in Catan. It's going to be beautiful. And it's so exciting. And it's so cool for Kansas City.
What can you tell us, my friend? What are we going to see? What are we in store for?
Well, I think it's important to bring it back to the basics. The West 18th Street Fashion Show was supposed to be celebrating the 20th year on the West 18th Street Strip, the one-way street down there in the crossroads. You know, weighing the options to see if there was ways to do this safely, there was concluded by the board that it wasn't going to be a good idea to do the full-on fashion show in the same way. So we decided to pivot, or the board decided to pivot, and to do something that was, just a totally different expression of the same thing. So we have 11 designers that made 9 collections. 2 of those designers were accessory designers, and one of them from Miami, 2 of them from New Orleans, and the rest of them from the Kansas City region. And we see, people being triumphant in the midst of a lot of things that have gone wrong this summer. And hopefully this piece is going to be a bit of a time capsule to really show what it feels like, or what it's been feeling like, to be in the midst of this in Kansas City.
Yeah, that was my follow-up, was how much of Kansas City is a, supporting actor in this film?
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, we really took advantage of the fact that a lot of these venues are not being used in the same way that they were being used before. So we were able to shoot in places that would have been maybe normally, too populated or not available to us. And again, as we were transitioning and shaping through this time, some of those places have reopened and are reopening with social distancing measures in mind. And maybe, again, we wouldn't have that opportunity had we started shooting now, for instance. So it was very much a time-sensitive situation, and we took advantage of as much of the beauty of Kansas City as possible.
How much, and this is for both of you, how much did this project help you, cope with, come to terms with just this year? Everything that is 2020, just the fact that this project is even happening is kind of a result of 2020. Has this helped deal with any and all of that?
I can definitely say that there has been, it's been a very cathartic process to create this piece, and a sense of purpose, whereas all the venues were shut down and I've been performing on stage since I was 12 years old on a weekly basis. And a lot of my personal identity is bound together with being there. The stage raised me, and that is my home. And so to have that be stripped of me for months was very bizarre. I mean, and I know that everyone can relate to that kind of bizarre feeling in whatever way that they, would relate to it. But that was why it was so bizarre to me. And so to be able to find a way to be creative, I mean, I don't have an acting background. I don't think that I'm a great actor. But I just tried to pretend the camera wasn't there and do what I would normally do anyway. But even still, turning on that acting button, it was very cathartic and very exciting. And I have a lot of respect for people who do film shoots for multiple days, because it was a lot of work. It was very exhausting. And I understand why people want to have a trailer on set.
Totally
relate. But it was a blast, and I don't regret a single moment of it.
Celeste, what about you?
Yeah, I fully agree. I'm a go, 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 go kind of person. But to not have had this, intense project to fill my time, I really don't know mentally where I'd be right now. I think it's good that we have this relationship where we can talk about these things, so that we know that we can check in with each other, emotionally.
The film is called Summer in Hindsight. It is highlighting the West 18th Street Fashion Show Year 20. And we're going to see all that on the big screen, driving in at the Boulevard Drive-In October 16th. Where can people get more information / tickets, all that, all the info, all the deets? Whoever's got the info, where can we go?
West 18th Street Fashion Show is our Facebook page and our Instagram handle. And we do have a Facebook event set up, and that link will take you over to Eventbrite, which is where the tickets are. There's 2 shows, so you can choose which show you want to go to, the early show or the later show. And each ticket you purchase is for a car load of up to 4 people. There are some free tickets available, because there's always been free admission to the fashion show, and we want to honor that. This is a community event. We want to keep the cost as low as possible, but we are just sort of covering our costs. But We do want to have those people that have been supporters of ours to be able to come experience this this epic moment.
I'm so excited for you all. I'm so proud of you. I can't wait to check everything out. You know, like Celeste, just in chatting about the event with you, like I consider you a friend now. This has been so great. And Calvin, you know, with my day job, I've got a chance to know all about you, my friend, because again, you are a treasure and you're real good at music and stuff. But just through all this, you know, this KC story, you know, I can't wait to learn more. I can't wait to chat with both of you more. And if you have anything else, any more projects, please let me know, because this is a pleasure. And I just, like I said, I can't wait for people to see this and go kick it. Let's just share this KC moment together, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for having us on your show, Hartzell.
All right, cheers.
The KC Morning Show.
Hi, my name is Max James, and I'm the owner of Fermata KC. On October 18th, 2020, we are putting on a socially distant concert right here on the Southeast Lawn of the National World War I Museum and Memorial. Big question that's probably on your mind, given that we're in a pandemic right now, is how can we put on a socially distant music festival? How can we keep this safe? Tickets are sold two ways. You can either buy a ticket that will cover your vehicle and all your friends in the vehicle, or a 10x10 plot, and that ticket will cover you and up to three friends. So you might be wondering what a 10x10 spot looks like and what you can do with it. This is a 10x10 square. Look, I can't touch any of these people. Lovely, right? You could sit in a lawn chair. You can lay on a picnic blanket.
You can build a pillow fort.
You can play with your balls. Go Chiefs!
We're getting a festival back in Kansas City. When's the last time we could say that, my friend? Fill me in on all the details.
So, Hartzell nailed it. We are putting on a socially distant music festival on the Southeast Lawn of the National World War I Museum and Memorial on October 18th. We are less than 2 weeks away. And I'm going to put it bluntly, we need to sell some tickets and we need to get people to know that we are here to support local music. I don't mean to alarm anybody, but we are in the middle of a pandemic right now. And pandemics are a really, really tough spot to be in if you are a live musician. I myself am a live musician and I can speak on the struggles that I have been dealing with for the past couple of months. I am not alone. We've got some really great acts on the set who are in the exact same situation that I am. We have Calvin Arsenia, way, way back. Back Alley Brass Band, Larson, What a Wreck, Flutie Nastiness, Amber Underwood is an absolute treat to work with. I'm so excited to hear her. I know I'm leaving some out. Like, it's a huge roster. I think when everything is said and done, we have 17 acts between DJs and bands playing. It is a huge day filled with music, all socially distant. Every group is going to be 6 feet apart from one another. I can't say enough good things about this because everything has just come together so beautifully because of an amazing team and amazing musicians working together to make just an incredible, incredible event.
I mean, like we said, this is going to be a festival and we've got The Bridge involved, 90.9 The Bridge. They do fantastic work. There's a component including them as well, right? You gotta tell me about this because I'm a sucker for a drive-in. What is this,
yeah,
my friend?
So let me tell you about how this idea came about first, because this is a kind of a neat story, because the drive-in might sound like it's an add-on, but it is not. It is what started this whole idea. Are you, Hartzell, familiar with the Loop Daddy himself, Mark Rubio?
Absolutely.
So I got the privilege to attend his concert back in June. What had happened was I took my Chevy to the levee, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. I loaded my car up with pillows and blankets, and I turned the back of my car into an SUV pillow fort. And it was the best concert I had ever been to. That's kind of a beautiful thing about COVID in a weird way, is that it gives you a chance. If you are somebody who likes your personal space, everybody's giving you your personal space. So I fell in love with the idea of a drive-in concert. And I'll admit, when I first came up with the idea, I was being a little selfish. And I was just like, man, I want to DJ a show just like this. I want to do a concert like this. And then I got out of my head for a second. I was like, wait, no. What if we went bigger? What if we could bring in local acts who I know are also struggling during COVID right now? What if we could do act and then a DJ and then an act and then a DJ and just go back and forth and make it like a really diverse group of musicians playing? I'm like, all right, cool. I think I have a good idea. I think I have a good little business plan here. So it all started out that it was initially going to be a drive-in, and that was it. I could tell with one person who I got on the phone, the dude thought I was a nut job, which objectively he's not wrong. But I then saw a certain event. It was called Jazz on the Lawn. My friend Sarah was coordinating an event. She works over at the National World War One Museum and Memorial. She and I developed a great relationship because I DJed her sister's wedding. I then DJed her wedding. And then I've now started DJing the fundraisers over at World War One Museum and Memorial. She has been an awesome contact and an awesome friend. So I gave her a call, not looking for anything other than advice. I was just like, hey, I see that you're doing this. It sounds like you're taking all the right steps. Tell me more about this 10 by 10 square method that you're doing. Teach me some things. And then Mr. Chris Weiss, who I believe you, Hartzell, are familiar with.
Absolutely.
Right?
He is the reason why I am at Sporting KC today.
I'm getting very similar vibes from him that just he loves promoting local people and helping them. And he's been just as helpful for me with this. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to help you out, Max. I am going to give you our Southeast Lawn and you can put on your event. Couldn't believe my ears. And I was like, okay, we've got a space. This is amazing. And then he goes, and you know what? I think I can do you one better. I think I can get you in touch with Kansas City Parks and Rec, and I bet we can get you a stage. So he got us a stage. And then he goes, and I you know what? You want to do a drive-in part of this, right? Well, that's great because we do car shows and we have no problem having you pull up on the lawn. How about I get you in touch with Brian Truda over at 909 The Bridge and we can see if they can do the radio portion. And at that point, I'm just hearing, you know, that tinnitus sound and you're just that ringing that.
Yes, sir. Yes, I do.
At that point, my face glazes over and he starts talking and he says something along the lines of, now I can see that you're hesitant. And I just cut him off. I'm like, no. I'm not hesitant. I just can't believe this is happening. I don't know why everybody is willing to do this, but the amount of support that we've gotten has just been unbelievable. Magnolia Events, they put on some of the best weddings here in the city. They are allowing us to use their space to bring the bands in to rehearse leading up to the show. City Barrel, for anybody in a tier one spot, each tier one person is getting 2 drink tickets. So we allow in each 10 by 10 spot, up to 4 people, just like what happened to Jazz on the Lawn. That is 8 drink tickets maximum that we are providing to our tier ones.
Yes, please.
Yeah. How about some rad AF from City Barrel? Like, I just can't express how awesome that is. CB Productions is sponsoring and they're helping us with the sound and with the lighting. And it's just going to be an amazing production. And now really the last thing that we have, it's all lined up. It's all ready to go. Now we just need to tell the world that, hey, this is happening. You have an opportunity to be there at what might just be the last live like music festival this year. So you're going to be able to support local music, musicians who have really been having a tough time. And Hartzell, you know it now when I say it, that all of the money that is earned for this is going toward paying these musicians, supporting local music, and a donation to the World War One Museum and Memorial because they're amazing and they deserve so much more than we're able to give them.
I'm on the Eventbrite as we speak. And yeah, there we go. You can get all the info, get tickets, just search Sound of Kansas City on that Eventbrite website. But yeah, Max, I saw that, you know, this is happening. It looks dope as hell. I want to have you on the show. And I saw that it's being presented by Fermata KC, and that is your organization. You are the owner and the founder. And so I thought to myself, cool, this is another production company in Kansas City, a startup. This is going to be great for live shows. But it is way bigger than that. We chatted off air, and I know you're not somebody who likes to brag on yourself, but I'll put you on the spot. Would you mind explaining what this concept is? Because this, you know, somebody, you know this, you work in the music industry. This is something that I think we need in Kansas City.
I would be happy to. And you know what? I've actually kept relatively hush-hush about this. So you're kind of getting a little bit of an exclusive right now.
Ooh, so a little bit.
Fermata is going to be a rehearsal studio for musicians who have trouble playing in their homes. So let's say you're like me. I'm a trumpet player and I'm a DJ. By definition, I am loud. My neighbors hate me. I know that I am not alone in musicians who are struggling to play in their homes.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a scheduling issue that you struggle to find a time when you can practice with your band because your neighborhood might have quiet hours. Maybe it's that you're not super comfortable leaving your instruments in a storage unit and practicing in there because newsflash, storage units don't necessarily like you practicing in there either. Maybe your garage just isn't big enough, or maybe it has some pretty bad acoustics. A multitude of reasons. What is stopping you from practicing? Is it your scheduling? Is it your space? Is it the inability to find other musicians to play with? Fermata is designed to help solve that problem. We were set for a March 2020 launch. We had a building picked out. We had investors lined up. Everything was ready to go. You might have guessed what happened in March of 2020, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Telling people, hey, you can go be in a building with other people. That was enough to make any investor go, no, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. We went back to the drawing board. I've been drawing this business plan for 3 years. My associate and I, Matt, I've been working on this and honing it and saving my money for it and ironing it out and going around to people and saying like, hey, what does this place need to look like for you to want to be a part of this? Just quietly kind of just trucking along, getting it to go. And now we're at that point where we're ready to announce, we're ready to say, this is happening, because I have come too far to back down, honestly. That's what it is that I'm too obsessed with this idea that the whole thing could fail and that'd be fine. But that's better than me not trying this at that point.
So many of us right now in this new normal, whatever you want to call it, you know, there's been so many different pop-ups that have actually survived that are going to be full-time things. I think of that YouTube video. Everyone remembers that first follower video, you know, the guy who's at the beach and he's dancing by himself and he looks ridiculous. And then he's got some homies to start dancing with him. All of a sudden, the beach is lit. I feel like that so much describes what Kansas City and you, my friend, and so many of us are doing right now, trying to find that dance party on the beach.
You know, and that's a pretty good reference. I have referenced that video a multitude of times because I think it's a really interesting little experiment in like human interaction and human nature. I know exactly that video you're talking about. And that's a really good way to put it. I hadn't really thought of that. So I'm going to be stealing that from you. Go on Venmo and split it up amongst yourselves. What we're doing is one ticket covers a 10x10 plot for you and up to three friends. Or you can do that drive-in ticket, the thing that inspired this whole thing. And you can tune in to 90.9 The Bridge, and then you can load up with as many people as you can comfortably fit in your car. And you can do it tailgate style. You can pop the trunk, and you can live outside of the back of it. Bring an inflatable couch for all we care. We just want you there. We want you to support some live music. Please, this is my call to action. Please help local musicians. They are struggling right now, and we want to do what we can to help. That's why we're here.
Before I forget, you want to do this? You want to give these folks a thing or two?
How about 10?
You want to do 10?
Let's do 10.
Woo! That's 10 tickets. That's a tease for Tickies. So we're going to give away 10 tickets to the Sound of Kansas City October 18th. Maybe get our friends at World War One involved as well. Do a little social media deal. But we got 10 tickets for you. If you aren't one of those lucky 10, no big deal. More tickets available. Eventbrite. Get all the info, all the tickets. The Sound of Kansas City. Max James, thank you, my friend. We're going to chat again. We became best friends over this call.
Sincerely, I want to buy you so many drinks and talk about Marvel theories.
You're going to wish you didn't say that because I'm going to hold you to that, my friend.
Anybody who knows me who's listening to this is like, no, Max means it. He's going to talk his ear off. He's going to hate Marvel after this.
Because you know, Miles Morales, that's my guy, Spider-Man for life. So let's have some chats. I got some fanfic I want to send your way.
Send it.
Max, this is Max James. He's the owner and founder of Formata KC, putting on Sound of Kansas City October 18th. Get all the details, get all the tickets, Eventbrite, and search Sound of Kansas City. Max, my friend, you have an open invite. I cannot wait to chat with you soon.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you.
The KC Morning Show.
From the virtual sidelines, ladies and gentlemen, that is Carter Augustine, Sporting KC's very own. Break us off some of that insight as only you can do it.
Man, it's if you like Sporting KC soccer, I think October is the month for you. It's every Saturday, Wednesday, pretty much. So there's going to be quite a few games here.
Take me through a game week for Carter Augustine.
Oh, okay, sure. We're based out at the stadium, myself and a couple video guys, because we're quote-unquote tier one. We have close contact with the team, so we have to come out here and get tested every other day. And part of that is, you know, we're shooting, editing video, photos, getting stuff prepared for our television broadcast, stuff that we use on social media as well. Now it's just going to get really crazy because, you know, usually we have a full week to do everything for every game. But in the month of October, when you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, we've played one, we've got 7 left. So 8 games in the month of October. October. Absolutely ridiculous. Just crazy.
They should just give you the Carter cot in the corner and just say, sleep here when you get a chance. Everything else, sporting related. Get back to work.
Yeah. We're not quite like Kitman and Sammy. They do, you know, they will spend the night, especially on those quick turnarounds when you get back from an away trip and have to be ready for practice the next morning. So thoughts out to those guys, because their month is going to be probably even more hectic than ours. But, you know, we've got a nice setup here at the training facility, and there is some room for some, maybe we get a bunk bed in here and have a lot of space for activities.
Let's talk about the game tomorrow, brother. We got a matchup. Sporting KC taking on Chicago. Carter, fill us in.
7 o'clock is our pregame coverage on Fox Sports Kansas City. Kick at 7:30. If you watch this weekend, I thought Sporting were pretty good down in Houston, and it helps to have the man Alec Lido on the field, but he's away with the Mexican national team now.
Let me ask your opinion on this, Carter, because this is one of those soccer things, especially for Alan Pulido. You know, one of his goals was to get back on the national team. Well, if you're a Sporting KC fan, we waited to get him back. He looked so good in his return, and then we got to lose him for a little bit. It's got to be a mixed bag of reaction, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a constant battle, too, because it's the club team that usually, you know, they're paying the player's salary. But, you know, for a player, the ultimate glory is playing in the World Cup. So, that you know, they want to pay a player for their national teams. But it is. It's a constant battle. If you're a club fan, you know, you love rooting for your guys, right? Or your girls, you love seeing them playing with your clubs, but it hurts a little bit when they go away with the national teams and miss club games. And a lot of times, you know, you can see injuries happen on international break as well. So it's almost like you're holding your breath for when they leave to hope they return safely. With everything going on with COVID, it makes it even more difficult, because Mexico plays tomorrow against the Netherlands, and then next Tuesday they play Algeria. So normally, you know, he'd fly back after that Algeria game. You'd probably have him, you know, you'd probably want to take caution with him when he gets back, but you're talking about missing, you know, a couple games. But now when you have to get back and you quarantine, you're going to add even more games on the back end there of possibly being missed. So it even adds a little bit more difficulty to the situation. But like you said, this has been a stated goal of Alan Pulido's since he got to Kansas City, was to get back with El Tri. And so, it's going to be difficult for Sporting, and it's going to be difficult as a Sporting fan, but you have to be happy for the guy that he's played well enough for Sporting to merit this call-up, and you have to be happy for him that he's, you know, accomplished a goal of his.
And I can't think of a better send-off before a call-up than what he did against Houston. I mean, that was just, yeah. I mean, that was domination.
Yeah, I mean, that was incredible. First, you have to credit Gianluca Cabuzio with two assists, two fantastic passes.
Mwah, chef kisses for Boos.
And then he goes and one-ups it with the next one, which is honestly a golazo. I mean, that second goal.
Fortunately, the Dynamo will be without Vera. Here's Pulido again. He's going to sweep it into the side netting. And Alan Pulido is living up to it today here against the Houston Dynamo. He has picked up a second goal for Sporting Kansas City. That is a body blow.
He makes it look so easy, but it's just an incredibly difficult skill. Buzio slides it into the box, and it's like he had the plan in his mind the whole time, Pulido, to make a slide shot. So he's like, it's like a slide tackle, except he knows what he's doing. He's got to get his boot on it a certain way so he can lift it over the keeper, still keep it on frame, on towards the back stick. I mean, just an incredible goal. You're right. It's a heck of a way to go out on international duty, and he certainly is a difference maker when he's in the game.
So what's the move, Carter? What's PV got in store for Chicago tomorrow?
You know, they had a press conference today, Peter Vermees and Amadou Dia, and obviously Pulido was the main topic, because they're losing, you know, highest paid player in club history and biggest transfer, and he's been such a great player when he's been on the field for Sporting this year. So a lot of questions, you know, how are you going to deal with his absence? And Peter Vermees said, hey, we can't replace him. You know, he's a unique player, and he's just a fantastic player. So I think every guy is going to have to step up a little bit more in his absence. And so Chicago's coming in here. They're in form, actually. They've got 7 points over the last three games. They really have looked pretty good since coming back from the MLS is Back tournament in Orlando. And they've got a new coach this year. They've got new ownership. There seems to be kind of a positive vibe now around Chicago Fire that has been missing for the last, 10 plus years. So So I think one guy that's really shown is Alvaro Medrón. Got a lot of La Liga experience, and I feel like every Chicago Fire highlight video, he pops up and is doing something. So we talked to Sporting KC legend Tony Miola, who's now the color commentator for the Fire. And he said, you know, they don't have any real superstars, but they're just pretty solid in every single position. So it's going to be a really tough challenge for Sporting. And I think you'll like this, Hartson, but Amadou Dia was asked about Chicago, and he really didn't want to focus on what they do. He said, we owe it to the fans to give them a better performance at home than we gave them the last two times. So I think that's on the back of the players' minds. Certainly was on the back of Amadou Dia's mind.
By the way, I love having him back.
Just like the brightest guy in the room, you know? Like he walks in and it's just a breath of fresh air, and he makes any room better that he walks in. He's that type of individual.
As do you, Carter Augustine. Fox Sports
Don't
Kansas
put me on
City's,
that level.
Oh, no, no. You've been there. Sporting KC's Carter Augustine. Catch him tomorrow. Pregame starts on Fox Sports Kansas City at 7 o'clock. See Carter, see Nate Bucati, Jacob Peterson. The best pregame in the business, ladies and gentlemen. Fox Sports Kansas City. I cannot wait to see you tomorrow, my friend, and maybe we can see if some of these Carter's keys to the game end up paying off. You see that there? Man, I'm trying to get a sponsor. Sponsor's always pending. We're trying to get you some money, Carter.
I appreciate it, man. You're always looking out for me, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at the stadium, and hopefully it's a good game.
Where can people find you? Let's get some handles.
Man, my Twitter handle is an absolute abomination, and actually if you don't mind writing Twitter, someone has the @CarterAugustine handle. Honestly, it might be me from back in college and forgetting the password, because it hasn't been active since like 2011. They have no tweets, no followers. So I'm sending in emails to Twitter every week saying, hey, delete this account so I can get it. I just need to up the pressure there. For the time being, I'm at Carter August 1NE, the number one. So it's at Carter Augustine, but instead of the I, it's a one. Carter August 1NE.
All the cool kids now are substituting the ones for I's, the V for a U. Listen, if anything, you are on brand. You are what the cool kids would call Carter. Hip.
The Lee is cool now. Okay, that's good to know.
Carter Augustine, we'll see you tomorrow, brother.
See you, man.
That was really a productive segment, wasn't it?
The KC Morning Show.